60 degrees, so the temp, wow, up. How could that be? Up, it was just 56, Jason Cans. I mean, is it my hot air has done that much already?
I don't know. What is it now?
It's 60.
Wow. Yeah, that's done it. That's done a lot. I don't think it's just your hot air, though.
Okay. All right, good. Thank you. Don't make it all about me, right?
I mean, for sure. I mean, if we could have that effect, it'd be nice to just be able to control the temperature where you go.
Yeah. Let's see. Good news. Yesterday, one of our sales colleagues here, Kristen, she works part-time in sales, helping Caleb and Dave. And she came in yesterday. I appreciate it. She's like, you know what? I was up early. I think she had to take someone somewhere. And she's like, I caught you and Jason. And she's like, that was really good.
That's so nice to hear.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great. I love hearing that sort of thing. And the chance to talk with my friend in the morning and invite people into that, that's great.
You know, and over time, we've kind of, you get it down, you have the personality, and then we leave with the scripture and then even your devotional commentary thought from Letters to the Beloved. And yesterday we did it all in 4 minutes and 25 seconds. How about that?
Oh my gosh, that's like ridiculously fast.
Yeah, so many times we go over five and sometimes even over six. Don't tell management, but yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, 425, I thought of it like a golf hole. Like, that was a, you know, par three or something.
Yeah, that's, you know, it brings our average down a little bit.
Well, I'm going to go here because you posted it on Facebook, but somebody by the name of Natasha Owens, and we have played some of her music, I guess, in the past, maybe during Christmas especially, but she did a song called The Chosen One, and it's not about Jesus.
No, it's not. And I had shared it with you yesterday. For me, it's a very concerning song, and several friends I shared it with as well. You know, it has a very worship-like vibe to it, but it's about Donald Trump. And, you know, I think when we start to see this crossover and viewing Donald Trump as the chosen one and not Jesus, we have a problem.
That would seem to be a problem. So
yeah.
Does that fall in the Christian? I mean, that seems like undeniably, like abusively Christian nationalism.
For sure that, and you know, it feels blasphemous to me, and I think that's where I stand. I mean, we can disagree about policy. I think that's no problem. But when we begin to see one of our political candidates as messianic, we've lost the script.
Well, I think that's undeniable there.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I guess I'm going to hold on to Jesus as the chosen one.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah, let's stay there. I think that's the way to go.
Yeah. All right. So good stuff there. We're closing out Acts chapter 2 today, verses 46 and 47.
Yeah, and that says, if I can find it, they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved.
And from Jason's devotional commentary, Letters to the Beloved, Acts 2, 46 and 47 reads like this. Those early believers lived their lives in a spirit-directed rhythm. They would worship at the temple together. They ate meals with one another, thankful to me and one another for this countercultural generosity. Love in my spirit grows the church. It is good to know and share my words, but a life shaped by both scripture and spirit is the real apologetic.
Boy, that last line stood out to me. The life shaped by both scripture and spirit is the real apologetic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Man, you know, I think, you know, love is how we reach the world, right?
I think
that's how we interact here, but it's also how we connect with other people.
Love, I like to say love is the first fruit and the highest gift. So
one of my favorite things you say.
And I like it when you say that. So, all right, have a great day.
You bet. Talk to you later.
There we go. Best 5 minutes of the day, WWIB. And it's time for a WIB Wake Up Show Wake Up Call with the Survivor theme because Ryan Westaby has reached yet another birthday in Fall Creek. Ryan, good morning.
Morning, Mark.
Your dad put us up to this, Keith and Owen.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that.
How old are you today?
41.
41. All right, so the big 4-0 came last year. How have you enjoyed your 40 so far?
It's been good so far.
Uh-huh.
You know.
And this is for real now. So come up on 7:21 and 63 degrees. Started at 56. Full weather story bottom of the hour on WWIB. Caleb, sometimes we'll talk about most popular baby names. It seems like we did that not that long ago, but this is going the other direction.
Yes, indeed. So these are baby names that are the least mainstream, according to the Social Security Administration in 2023. So baby names even on the verge of extinction, yeah, so to speak, because there just aren't a lot of people naming their kids these names.
Yeah. For instance, female, and I guess we can go back and forth on this. Number one there is Bess.
Or Kathy.
Christy.
Deirdre.
Dory.
Gail.
Jeannie.
Judy.
Carrie with a K.
And Meg.
So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, names that are not as popular now, though it seems like you go through this and I'm like, yeah, I know a lot of people with those names, or at least can think of somebody famous with those names, but as well.
Then it becomes a question of, you know, what about young people, though? You know, is it kind of going out of vogue, if you will? All right, on to the male side of things. Names that are on the brink of extinction, maybe, is Al. Boy, I tell you what, that's my dad's name, Al. So.
Or Bernie.
Bert.
Bob.
Chuck.
Dom.
Hal.
Mel.
Mitch.
And Phil. So again, according to the Social Security Administration in 2023, these are the least mainstream names. People just aren't naming their kids these names nearly as much as some of the other ones we've mentioned in those top 5 or top 10 lists.
Yeah, kind of interesting.
It really is.
Can they rally?
I know. Let's all root for the Bernies and Berts and Bobs to make a comeback here.
You know, what's kind of a fun thing sometimes is when you hear that name, like, what's the first person that comes to mind?
I know, that's the thing. It's like the word association, it's name association. So.
I know, it is interesting. Well, it's the 80th anniversary of D-Day, the Normandy invasion, and proceedings there in France. Ceremony just wrapping up a short time ago. 150,000 Allied Expeditionary Force landing in Normandy, France. And before it unfolded, General Dwight D. Eisenhower delivering these words.
You are about to embark upon the great crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you.
80th anniversary, Caleb.
And we have some really incredible facts from that D-Day invasion. Again, 8 decades ago, about 3,200 reconnaissance missions were launched in the run-up to that historic invasion to take photos of vital locations.
Yeah, in the summer of 1943, an early copy of the plans blew out of a window in London. Yeah, a man who was passing by handed them in, saying his sight was too bad to read them.
Incredible. More facts about D-Day. Maybe you've heard about this one. D-Day was originally set for June the 5th, but had to be postponed for 24 hours because of bad weather.
What a dramatic development there. The night before the landings, nervous Prime Minister Winston Churchill reportedly said to his wife, quote, "Do you realize that by the time you wake up in the morning, 20,000 men may have been killed?"
On the eve of battle, as you just heard, President Dwight D. Eisenhower told troops, quote, "You are about to embark upon a great crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you."
Indeed, they were. Many paratroopers that day, 80 years ago, were dropped in the wrong place, including U.S. Private John Steele. His parachute famously became snagged on the church steeple at St. Mere Eglise. He was trapped for 2 hours before being taken prisoner.
At 3 a.m., 1,900 Allied bombers attacked German lines. A staggering 7 million pounds of bombs were dropped that day. A total of 10,521 combat aircraft flew a total of 15,000 sorties on D-Day, with 113 of those lost.
Also, another amazing fact about D-Day, the flat-bottomed landing craft were originally designed to rescue flood victims on the Mississippi River here in the U.S.
U.S. troops went ashore on the landing beaches at 6:31 a.m., followed an hour later by the British and Canadians on their beaches. There were 61,715 British troops, 21,400 Canadian soldiers, and 73,000 Americans.
Wow. And finally, at least in this installment, we'll do more after 8 o'clock, but the first American to make it to Normandy was Captain Frank Lilleyman, who parachuted in. He was wounded later in the day and won the Medal of Valor. He continued to serve in the military until 1968, retiring at the rank of Lieutenant Colonel, dying 3 years later.
Again, we'll have more for you next hour, but remembering D-Day 80 years ago on this day. Well, it's quarter past eight, the WIB Wake Up Show. Caleb and Halva with you on WWIB, where we are family. And we're joined by a guest this morning, Celia Burgraff from Wisconsin Foster Closet, based out of Menominee, helping families in foster care and kinship care all over the place. And you may have heard about them last summer. They're going to be a featured nonprofit at one of our Summer Smiles events, which you'll be hearing more about coming up. The first one is on June 19th at Joseph's Cheesecake and benefiting Wisconsin Foster Closet. Celia, welcome back here to WWIB.
Thank you for having me.
For those who haven't heard of Wisconsin Foster Closet before, could you explain in kind of a nutshell what it is that you do, how you come alongside foster families?
Yeah, we're a nonprofit that helps fostering kinship kids. Basically, when you receive the kids for a placement, they can come into our closet and shop for clothes, hygiene items, basic necessities they may not have or that were taken away from them when they were removed from their home. And we also have different events throughout the year that we help people with, too.
And to follow up on that, too, so they can shop at Wisconsin Foster Closet, but there's no charge to these families, correct?
Correct. Everything is donation run. Everything is free. Yes.
What's some of the reaction you get from parents and kids to, you got a smile right there.
Just lots of tears, lots of appreciation. I mean, because there wasn't really anything like this a few years ago. They're popping up more and more around the area. But yeah, just to know that we can help just by giving someone a pair of shoes. I mean, that makes someone's day, a kid, their face lights up. So,
I mean, and so many of these children taken from very adverse circumstances, to put it mildly, and a lot of trauma. And so a lot of them don't have much of anything to call their own.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons this was started is, you know, they're able to get a backpack that's theirs. Clothes they can pick out themselves, shoes, stuffed animals, blank. I mean, just basic things people wouldn't think is a big deal, but it's huge to these kids because it's theirs.
And you had a chance, we had a chance to partner with you a year ago.
Yes, yep. We were part of the picnic you guys had last summer, one of them.
I know, again, there's a lot of different things that you do. Christmas for Kids is a big one that'll be coming up, too, as it was well over 300 kids last year that you helped out. And also, particularly right now, you're building toward back to school already.
Yep. So we're currently collecting school supplies. Last year, we helped 150 kids within the area. So we have an Amazon wish list on our Facebook page that people can shop, and the stuff ships directly to us. Otherwise, if you have new items to drop off, were donation only this summer.
So sometimes organizations will say, but in terms of the dollar donations or actually items, but people can check your Facebook page in terms of the items. But do you have a preference in terms of financial donations or actually?
It doesn't matter because, I mean, we have to get the products anyway. So either way we get them, we will not complain about receiving them.
Yeah. So wifostercloset.org, friends, is where you can go if you say, hey, I want to find out more about Wisconsin Foster Closet, Menominee. And again, it's not just Menominee. It's not just Dunn County. They serve foster and kinship families all over the place. But wifostercloset.org. And Celia, you mentioned off the air around 5 years or so that you've been involved with Wisconsin Foster Closet. What keeps you coming back to this organization to help?
The fact that we're helping more and more kids every year. I mean, we saw almost a 50% increase last year in our numbers with how many kids we serve. So I don't know if that's because we offer different more programs and more kids came or what is going on. But I mean, there's a huge need still. So as long as there's a need, we're willing to help.
And thank God for all of those families that step forward to serve as foster parents, right?
Oh, 100%, yes.
And finally, again, Celia from Wisconsin Foster Closet is joining us here in the WIB Wake Up Show. Can I ask you as well, too, so you mentioned how the kids will light up when they get some of these clothes or shoes or school supplies for their very own, giving them something to own and helping show them their value and their worth. How do the parents react, these parents in foster care and kinship care, too? Because, again, bringing our off-air discussion on the air, just thinking about how alone sometimes foster families can feel like, is anybody else going through these struggles and difficulties? How do they react to this being available?
They're pretty grateful. Lots of tears a lot of times because it's not, you know, people don't always budget to get foster care kids, and it's not always in their budget to buy these things. So the fact that they can receive them and then meet other people at our events makes them not feel alone, and they're just very appreciative.
Huh. It's It's really wonderful. Again, Wisconsin Foster Closet, based out of Menominee, the goal to aid families and meet the needs of children and young adults in foster care and kinship care. Celia, again, we intend to shout even more about what you guys are doing, the good you're doing as we lead up to that first Summer Smiles event to benefit you guys. It'll be June 19th, a Wednesday, 11 to 1 at Joseph's Cheesecake in Chippewa Falls. So more information will be coming up about that. But thank you for what you guys do. Thank you for joining us here on WWIB this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Celia. Appreciate that. Actually, interestingly, foster care and some of the efforts of a new family services will be our focus on this topic with this Sunday night, Chippewa Valley this week after 5 on WWIB. Well, the 80th anniversary of the Normandy invasion today, Caleb. And they've had the proceedings there in Normandy, France, and seeing various reports still after that. And so we're going to have some more amazing facts. We had part one of these an hour ago. But to begin with, this is someone who did serve, Vernon Grosskopf, actually. Years later, he recounted what he saw that day on the beaches of Normandy firsthand.
The destruction and the death, the bodies laying all over. And it, in other words, I've seen death before, but this was the ultimate, as I'd say.
So really, again, turning the tide of the war. It's just amazing. 80 years ago today.
Again, D-Day, when Allied forces landed on Normandy's beaches, began to push Hitler's army all the way back to Germany. And we continued, continue this from last hour, some amazing things that you may or may not know. For instance, defenses on the beaches included concrete gun emplacements, wooden stakes, mines, anti-tank obstacles, barbed wire, and booby traps. There are around 50,000 German troops there opposing the Allied landing forces.
Yeah, we talked about 150,000 soldiers from the U.S., Canada, and Great Britain there. Field Marshal Erwin Rommel was in charge of defending northern France from the expected Allied invasion. On June 6th, he was at home in Germany celebrating his wife's 50th birthday, having been told the sea was too rough for a landing.
Another thing you might not know, facts from D-Day. Again, 80 years ago today, Nazi leader Adolf Hitler was asleep. When word of the invasion arrived, no one dared wake him, and it is said vital time was lost in sending reinforcements because of that.
The element of surprise. The heaviest losses were on Omaha Beach, where U.S. forces suffered 2,000 casualties. Canadian forces met heavy resistance in Juneau. In the first hour, the chance of becoming a casualty was 1 in 2.
The newly developed drug penicillin went with troops on D-Day and saved thousands of lives.
Also, despite setbacks, including the failure to capture the city of Caen, D-Day saw the Allies establish a successful beachhead from which they could continue the invasion of Normandy. By the evening of the first day, along with more than 150,000 men, 20,000 vehicles had been landed. Amazing.
Again, two more here, things you may or may not know about D-Day, which took place 80 years ago today. High command thought a successful landing would cost 10,000 dead and 30,000 wounded. So 30,000 stretchers and 60,000 blankets were issued before the landing.
And finally, total Allied casualties on D-Day were much lighter than feared. As high as they were, the original estimate for Allied casualties was 10,000, of which 2,500 were killed. Research by the National D-Day Memorial confirmed just over 4,400 deaths, of which 2,499 were American and 1,915 were from other nations.
Again, the incredible cost of that historic day. I remember a man that I knew growing up. His name was Claire, and Claire was someone we prayed for many, many years. His wife went to our church, and Claire would come from time to time for potlucks and things like that, but we prayed and prayed for so many years that God would get a hold of Claire, and he actually was on that landing, and I believe it was Omaha Beach, and he told a story about how the machine guns could only rotate so far. And so one machine gun cut down everyone in the line he was in, but because it couldn't rotate far enough, he was spared. It didn't cut him down. And again and again, we prayed for Claire, and we believe that in his final days before passing out of this life and into the next, that Claire did respond to the call of the gospel and repent. And just
that being brought to mind now as we think about the incredible cost of D-Day 80 years ago, and thank those who served, and more grateful than ever of the Savior who gave his life for us so that we could have hope.